Welcome to Revival in Argentina Night. I just need to explain to you what the yellow and white backdrop is. Should I be on the other one? No, this is good. When they pulled it out of the bag today, I said, I smell the smell of the tents. We had tent revivals in Argentina. Rocky and Sherry Grahams are the directors of the Bible school. When Carlos Anacondia began in 1982 with massive 85,000 people in open fields, they had these yellow and white tents in the background for intensive therapy. But they were sending the Bible school students from day one to those Argentine revival services. Not only did it impact the students, it impacted the Bible school, and now all those students are pastoring the revival all over the country. The Bible school for this many years has been just flooding the zone, preparing ministers for the work that is being done in Argentina and around the world. Now, I do need to make a few comments. We have not just Rocky and Sherry here tonight. We have brand new missionary candidates that we just finished interviewing this afternoon that are here tonight. Brandy Wilson, please stand. And Chris and Heather Schneider, please stand. Brand new missionaries going to Argentina. We have MKs from Argentina, Charity, Kinney, Esther and Tricia Nicholson Cunningham and whatever, Levesque, our daughters. And anybody else who's ever been a missionary in Argentina, first I'd like you to stand. Good, that means I got you all. Oh, there's one. And there are more. God bless you. And now everybody who is a newly appointed missionary that's here for the candidate orientation, or you are missionaries, we would like to honor you. Please, everyone stand that is involved in world and U.S. missions. Thank you. I'd like to make one other announcement. In the foyer, you're going to recognize, and I'm sure Rocky and Sherry will talk more about the book, but there is a book table. You'll notice the great big Argentina banners. And we would like, right outside this door, if you're interested in that book, that's where the book table is. A little bit farther down the hall is our missions nook. And we thank Larry Hall for putting tables in there. We have a touch screen that now you can go double touch on any of the requests. You can see all the missionaries that Central Assembly supports, and you can see what their most urgent prayer requests are. So help yourself to look in the missions nook. It's right beyond the elevator. And you can't miss it. There's a big globe in front. Okay, Rocky and Sherry, please come on up as I talk a little bit about you. These are friends of ours since we were appointed in 1977 together. Went through that first school of missions many years ago. They raised their three children in Argentina, as we did. And Rocky and Sherry are not just colleagues in ministry. They are dear personal friends. They have impacted the nation in a way that I think is so significant, in that Rocky is not the only one who's doing the ministry. Excuse me, Rocky, I'm going to share the glory here.
Hallelujah.
This woman has spent hours and hours and hours in that Bible school, meeting with the women, meeting with the girls, having what they call charlas. It's conversations, chats, informal chats. But really pouring into the lives. And when you go to Argentina today, you don't just find the pastor, you see the pastoral team. As our pastoral team, we think of Pastor Bradford and Sandy as a team. Trish and Craig are a team. We see here in our church, we model that kind of team leadership. Rocky and Sherry have done that for the nation of Argentina. Take it away. Whatever you want to do, share.
Amen. Dick and Cynthia are a team, and what a team. And we appreciate them so much. We're honored to be here. Those are our students. When they were going like this, doesn't that just look like wheat in the wind? And the Bible says the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The sower is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And you know what? That good seed is being planted, sown in places like Nepal, Mozambique, France, Mexico, Spain, China, Japan, all of it. Argentines being sent out, being sent out, being sent out. And we get to be a part of it. We get to hang around people with all that passion. That was a normal chapel service. And they're just weeping in the presence of the Lord. You know why? Because all they have is their passion for the Lord. They don't have the backing of banks. They don't have a tremendous network to make it happen for them. They don't have political ploys. They don't have anything else but the grace and the power of God. And it is enough. When you go out there with that passion, He makes it enough. Sherry used to come over here to nurse our first child 30 years ago. And we almost lost it during school of missions. We were on the verge of tears all the time. And you know what? We've been on the verge of tears for a while here. I had a man who came up to me the other day and he goes, "Rocky, God wakes me up at 4 a.m. to pray for you and it's not short." I said, "You know, 4 a.m. is about when I'm starting my day by the difference in time in Argentina, and I start the day with internal weeping. And then comes a song that stays with me all day. Internal weeping because of the tremendous need and challenge and the lack of resources. But the song comes from the Lord. The wisdom comes from the Lord. The provision comes from the Lord. And I sing all day long. It's so good this lady puts up with it because that's what I do." She's been, in the last 4 or 5 years, on a tremendous journey with the Lord. She's been connecting so much to the Lord's presence. He is everything to her. I'm in, you know, second place. That's fine. But we went away for a little weekend. We try to do that every 3 months or so when we're on the field. And she says, "I want to read you a book. Can I read you 2 chapters a day?" "Sure." So she read me 2 chapters, and the next day 2 chapters. He says, "We already threw half of it. Let me read you 4 chapters, and we're done." So she read me the DNA of relationships in 3 days. She's read it 6 times. She just read it to her parents on the way to Colorado, and we're here kind of observing what these principles are that we get to teach down there also. So go ahead, Sherry. This lady I love so much. She keeps me sane. We go to coffee every day.
To talk. It is really a privilege to be with you. I mean, a missionary has a great life. You know, not all missionaries love furlough, but who else can be ministering 4 years in a country and then come home and have a year of family reunions? I mean, every church who's been supporting you, their family, they've prayed you through. And that, you know, Argentina, we've had 7 robbery, you know, attempts and robberies. It's not a bad country. You know, please do come and visit us. But one of the times, the biggest one, the first one, when you're not expecting it, I remember that we were sitting on the floor in the kitchen and the robber, one of them was pointing a gun at our head or at us. And you know, not all my thoughts were spiritual in an hour and 15 minutes. That's where I felt someone was praying, you know. And then it came to my mind, it was like you'd have this thought and the Holy Spirit would give the counter thought. And it was like God says, "I know exactly where you are right now." And He said, "I'm laying you on someone's heart to pray." And that's when we think of the churches. And we think, someone's praying us through in this moment. Someday we may find out about it. Sometime we may not. But you are a very big part. And the second thought that came to me is, oh, they're really taking a lot of things. You know, we've been in Argentina 28 years, and it's like the Holy Spirit came with a counter thought, but they're not taking one thing that I didn't give you. You go, wow, yeah, thanks for the use of it. I mean, nothing we have is our own. It's all gift from God. And then another thought came to me, you know, we've seen their face. What if they, decide to shoot us before they leave, because sometimes, you know, they can be off-duty police officers, so it's not like you want to go report it. And then the Holy Spirit goes, you know, God created our day. He knew the day we were going to be born, and he knows when it's our time to go. And no one person can take our life away before God's timing. And another thing, you know, with so many robberies, and we've also learned, love them, be careful, because they might end up in the Bible school in a couple of years. And so, you know, these tents, the yellow tents, when this move of God began in 1982, it was a hard time. The ground was hard. And it was a surprise. There were, Carlos Anacondia was a businessman who accepted the Lord. And since Argentina is a very religious country, not everybody can go in an evangelical church. But if you have an open field, anybody can go. And there were huge crowds, incredible crowds. And God was doing big things. And our students were going to help in the demon-possessed tent, and there was a lot of that there. And they nicknamed it the intensive therapy tent. And just a few months ago, a friend was down visiting, and we went inside the tent, and you see the way the people go, and you think, oh, that's going to be disaster in there. And you go inside the tent, and each person that's taken in is talking with two counselors. It's quiet peace, because God is dealing with each person and freeing them. But one of the things that surprised me, I read a book by Paolo Bottari, which is the one that worked in those tents for a long, long time. And he said, a lot of the people have made an initial commitment to Christ, have asked Jesus into their hearts, but they haven't relinquished things in their lives. And one of the things that often is something we'd expect, unforgiveness, because when there's unforgiveness, it's giving, you know, it's like giving free rent to someone to live in our heads. It's giving the other person power over us. But the one thing that I didn't expect, he said, there are so many Christians that are filled with fear. And he says that is one of the things that most gets them. And so he says, the thing is, when we begin fearing, the day you were born, God had a purpose for your life, and he had a focus. And he said, you know, I have created this. This is my work. It's a beautiful work. And from the day you're born, Satan decides to distract you from God's purpose. And so he puts things into our lives. A lot of times he says, I don't care if you love God, but what I don't want you to do is give him your focus. Because if we discover our focus in him, we've got a power and authority, and we walk in a different way. It's not just doing and serving him. And another thing is passion. You know, the Greeks, they say that the Greeks say when someone dies, they don't say, what did this person do? They say, did that person live with passion? And, you know, Satan doesn't mind at all if we have a passion, just so long as it's not the one and only passion. So we can love God, but, you know, he spends our life trying to remove our focus. There are fears, there are worries and concerns. And like Rocky said, you know, when I decided I'm going to get this journey just to seek God, there's nothing we can do in Argentina, directing the Bible school or any great thing. There is nothing so important as just loving God each day and loving each other. And that, God begins to flow through you, and you just walk and touch lives. So sometimes when you're so stressed out, you go, wait a minute, you know, what's stressing me? And you just go, all I have to do today, the only thing on my schedule is loving God with all my heart, with my passion. He's my focus. And that is greater than anything we could ever teach the students. Just live it ourselves, you know. And when Dick and Cynthia were still with us, we would train the students, and Dick would take a lot of them as church planters. And there was one whose name was Hector Ferreira, and Dick helped him plant a church in Rosario, and then later on down South Rocky, I'll be talking more about him. But I remember when Hector was at school, and he came over to our house for pie. We play a game, and we ask different questions. And he pulled a question out that said, when did you cry last? And you think, wow, a guy getting this, what's he going to say? And he said, last night. What did you cry for? For the lost in my city. And so this guy had his passion. He grows up, or he starts these churches. He has three boys. And these boys grow up, and their family fasted and pray together. Sometimes because of lack of food, but other times as a spiritual discipline. So these boys grow up, and now these three boys have come to our Bible school. Well, one of the boys named Nicolas, a couple of years ago, was studying at our Bible school, and he comes one day and he says, you know, I feel like the Lord wants me to go to Houston, Canada. And the students go, but that must be Houston, Texas. There isn't a Houston, Canada. Nobody's heard of that. But he goes to the internet and he finds out it's a tiny, tiny little city in Canada. And he just said, I have this burden. I don't have the money, but I just feel God laying it on my heart. So if God really wants me to go, he'll provide the money. And so when you make that decision, you know, God provides the money. So he gets on the plane. He goes to Canada. The only thing he knew how to look up was Assemblies of God Church in this little town in Houston, Canada. And he shows up to talk to the pastor, and he can't speak hardly any English, and the pastor can't speak any Spanish. And so with a little bit of trying, and I think they found an interpreter, the pastor said, well, what are you doing here? And Nicolas said, well, I'm not really sure. All I know is that God told me to come. And the pastor said, well, why did God tell you to come? And Nicolas said, I don't know why I'm here, but he just wants you to know how much he loves you and values you and treasures you. And the pastor started weeping. And he said, I was considering leaving the ministry because I just felt that the work I was doing was of no value. I just wasn't progressing. To make that story short, Nicolas had services there, and people started coming from neighboring towns, and Nicolas started going to neighboring towns. One mayor gave him the key to the city, and they say, we would love you to come live in Canada. But Nicolas is still in Argentina for now. So when you give an investment, you know, when you invest in missions, first of all, Satan wants us to focus on us. And when we think of missions, we begin focusing out. And we're running this marathon, and you're running. And someone gets a call to missions. And that person takes the baton and starts running. And then someone comes into Bible school. 40% of our student body feel a call to missions around the world. So they pick up that baton, and they keep running, and souls are saved. So when you get to heaven, there are going to be a lot of people that you're going to get to know that you had a part in and you had no clue. Because you interceded for that missionary when you didn't know what they were going through, but they came to your mind in a moment, you interceded, and you gave, and you cared. So that's why these are family reunions for us. It's so much fun being with you because we have the same heart, God's heart. God's heartbeat is missions, and you've caught that, and that's why you're here. So thanks so much. We love you.
We've had wave after wave of revival, and each wave leaves a residue of blessing. And then training puts down the base for the next wave. Revival training, the move of God training. That's what we've lived for the last few years, and it's been very, very exciting. I see some people here that helped me through a terrible moment of my life when I came to the United States as a junior in high school, and I had no friends for almost a year. I just kind of got back and was by myself. And I got into choir at the Minneapolis Gospel Tabernacle. And there was L.B. Larson loving me every week with his wife and having us come through. And then as we are in this journey, the Lord puts just the right person. I grew up in Bolivia. I'm an M.K. I was taken as contraband into Bolivia. She was 4 months pregnant with me. It was against the law, but against the rules, but we did it. And all my life has been serving the Lord. The focus has been obeying. And as missionaries, we don't feel we're so special. We're just obeying. We're just being obedient. Obedience sometimes means being on the floor with a gun pointed at you. Okay, that's fine. We know that He's in control. Obedience sometimes means being so exhausted that you're still doing emails at 2 a.m. But it's worth it to just continue and do what God is asking you to do. I remember some of those times when the white and yellow tents were up. One of our pastors and teachers at the time when this was starting saw that his students were kind of falling asleep in class. And he goes, what's wrong with you guys? What's the deal? We've been going to the campaign every night. What campaign? Got to check this out. So he went to the campaign, and they said, Pastor, get in here. They took him in the tent, and they said, she is the one you're the minister to. The woman was writhing down around on the ground, and so he walks over, and he leans over with his tie, and he says, do you feel okay? And the lady grabs a hold of his tie and goes, and leaves about the tie, not about this size, you know, the size of a dime or so. He goes, I think I need to learn something that my students know. And he began to connect with Carlos Anacondia, the evangelist, prayed with him every week on Thursdays. Various pastors would pray with him. They taught him how to get into the Word and how to preach and how to know the doctrine. And he taught them how to get a hold of the Lord. And those pastors today have churches like this one. Of this pastor I'm talking about is Claudio Freyson, of 19,000 members. They have 2,000 leaders. They ask you to come and speak to their leaders. It's an entire auditorium full of leaders. Each one of them is leading a cell group. It's so good that those students were connecting with what God is doing, and that teacher thought, I need to learn something. Doctrine and practice. Power, yes, power, and the truth, and the Word. That's what we need. Just like to mention, one of the main things we were able to accomplish this term was getting this book written. Sherry says it was like having triplets or quadruplets. I remember it took me 5 years to write it, 15 years to live it and think about it, and I kept sensing somebody needs to write these things down. I've had a Palm Pilot longer than you all. This is my Palm Pilot. I write down testimonies, and I just love getting home and telling Sherry the testimonies, or our kids the testimonies, and compilation of all these testimonies. There are 95 people that signed. That's exactly what happened. 10 pages of bibliography where we've interviewed all of these leaders various times, and the testimonies blow you away. There are people that grab the book and read it till 5 a.m. A lady in Appleton, Wisconsin, found herself dancing in the spirit at 4 a.m. after reading the book most of the night. I just saw a young man who said, this book is giving me back my identity, because he lived a lot of this in Argentina and he had been forgetting, and he's going, this is what I must live again, that same passion. A pastor in Iowa got it as a gift, and he thought, I'll read 3 minutes before bed. 3 hours later, he's in the basement crying out to God, give us revival. God is using it as seed of revival, and it's just an honor. We are just the postman. We are just the ones who have said, this is what happened. We merely were there and were able to record it and see it. So you want to wipe out your Christmas list tonight? Go for it. You buy 6, you can have them at $11 a piece. You buy 1 to give to your neighbor who's an agnostic, and just tell them, read this and then we'll talk. Or maybe just loan it to them. It's better to loan it, because then you get it back and you can have them over for coffee and see what happens. There's some agnostics who are really thinking about the Lord and his power as they read it. Philippians 3, here is a missionary mentor. This is a man who affected us so much. The God of transformation is here. God, the joy of the voyage inventor, the voyage maker, the dream maker is here. There's a pastor who stuck his index finger in the face of Dante Hebel, 17 years old, skinny, long nose. Nobody would give anything for him. And his pastor said to him, God will never use you. What a nice curse. But a few years later, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he said, you are going to be the youth pastor of the youth of Argentina. Argentina have 40 million people. The youth, what would be 10, 15 million people? He said, I'm available, Lord. 3 or 4 weeks later, his wife said to him, Liliana, she's an alumnus of our school, Dante, if you're going to be pastoring the youth of Argentina, you better get known. Nobody knows you. You better do something to get known. So he thought, what can I do? What can I do? I'll start producing recordings and send them free to radio stations and make it very much what youth would want to hear, which is humor and commentary and just really mix it up with topics. And so he started sending it out. 3 months later, he was sending it to 243 stations. And he was being known all over the country. They gave him a place on cable TV late at night. He started announcing what the Lord had said. Get them together in a soccer stadium, all of those young people, to declare their commitment to purity. So it was a stadium of 60,000 people he was going to rent. He signed the contract, and he got a call, and they said, you know, if you don't bring the money on Monday, we're going to give it to a couple of teams who want to have a soccer. Okay, I'll be there Monday. He didn't have any money. Friday night in service, the Lord gives him a word from a lady. Tonight, by midnight, the answer is yours. He raced home from the service to get there for the phone call. Quarter to midnight, the phone rings. This is it. And the guy goes, are you Dante? Are you the guy that's on that cable? Yeah. Do you have the money for that stadium? We think they do. You don't look like you have the money. Do you think that God could use a backslider? He's thinking, get off the phone. I've got to get the right phone call here. Finally, the guy goes, how much do you need? $60,000 and $15,000 for the security and everything else. He says, how do you want it? Large bills or small? Come by my office Monday morning. Bring a coat with a lot of pockets. Wore a black coat, walked out of there with $70,000. Went and rented it, and 60,000 youth declared their commitment to valuing virginity, male or female. He was the first one who started talking about men committing their lives and their purity to the Lord. The next idea he got from the Lord, fill the widest avenue in the world, 9 de Julio, right downtown Buenos Aires, a city of 13 million, with youth that are declaring their commitment to the Lord. He got permission to block the whole avenue from the mayor, and the president gave permission to the tango dancers for the same place on the same night at the same hour. So it was like a campaign that was going to happen, and so they both gave permission, and he goes, what do we do? They just planned it. It went ahead anyway. The tango dancers were from the obelisk to the river, 340 people doing the tango. From the obelisk the other direction, 103,000 youth just cheering the Lord. The tango dancers got tired of their tango and came over and joined us. Focus. And that's what we see here in Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Nathan, make believe that I'm a thief and I'm going to get away. You got to grab me. Come on, make believe that I'm a thief. You got to grab me. Go for it, man. Go for it. Okay, put me in a full Nelson there. There we go. This is how the Lord wants to grab us. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. He wants to arrest us. He wants to give us his passion and his focus. In the United Kingdom, I guess the police don't carry guns. They learn how to knock a guy down and just grab him like that and arrest him. And Paul says, I want to take hold of that for which I have been taken hold of. What did the Lord grab you for? There are so many distractions today. Some people focus on their emotions. Some people focus on their past. Some people focus on the tremendous highway of 500 channels available, all the distractions. And Satan dances on one foot thinking how he can distract us from that primary focus. Some people focus on their enemy, their spouse. You huffed. No, I didn't. Yes, that was a huff. I know a huff. They're so, as enemies, if we're on two sides of the situation, how can the Lord use us? We must be united. We must be friends. We must be one. And the basis of our victory in the world is the home, is the family. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Four words. One thing I do. Instead of in these 10,000 things I dabble, in all of these distractions, some people focus on their cell phone. If they can't connect for 2 hours, they go into delirium tremens. Can't connect. I can't connect. I can't make it. They carry, you know, they have it so you can browse the net on here. They carry their pornography with them. And there they are, distracted, distracted. Some people have such a powerful index finger. Takes them all over. Or they click with this one, with their wand, with their little box that they worship. In Japan, they watch TV 90 hours a week on an average. Totally distracted. God wants our heart. God wants our focus. God wants our passion. God wants to arrest us and grab hold of us. I think it is so beautiful to be here in the United States and to see so much blessing. But we must strive, I think, 3 times or 10 times as much just to maintain focus. Just to give the Lord some time demands fighting off about 10 options. And the Lord is saying, streamline your life. Simplify. Come away with me. Can I take my cell phone? Can I have my computer near? Come to where I can speak to you and take a hold of everything you are and send you into the world as a seed, a living seed to produce much fruit. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Think of one young man who was a student at the Bible school. They graduated. He met his wife at the Bible school. Let's not laugh about that. It's better than meeting her in the corner bar, don't you think? I mean, it's a great place to meet. I've met Sherry there. Hallelujah. They planted a church in a slum area. He said to the people, go find the worst sinners. The church filled up with former prostitutes. Then he went to another area, very, very traditional. No one wanted to hear the name of Jesus at all. He started preaching 10 times a day and once in the evening during the day it was in the parks, in the evening it was in the church. 11 times a day for 6 months, not one conversion. He ended up with a black eye a lot of times. People were saying, let's get rid of him. Let's find another pastor. He doesn't have any fruit. Let's see what another option. Then the Lord began to show him that when Christ ministered, first he did the miracles, and then he taught. Then he preached. So he started saying, Holy Spirit, give me miracles. And the Lord began to do miracles. That church today has 30,000 members. They have a baptismal every 3 months. Dick and Cynthia were at the baptismal where they baptized hundreds. They baptized a minimum of 250 up to 900, 3 at a time. No time for testimonies. They can give testimony in their cell groups, you know. They have 684 leadership cell groups and hundreds of prayer and miracle cell groups, including cell groups in the air. The flight attendants, you know, take care of first class, and then they sit down and do their cell group and pray way up in the air. Or cell groups in the Philharmonic Symphony. Or cell groups near the judges that are having influence on the nation. Another young man would say to his parents, I've got to take the dog on a walk. And he'd run the dog 15 blocks, tie him up, run into the church and say, Pastor, give me a miracle testimony. The pastor would tell him 2 testimonies. Thank you. Untie the dog, run him back. Well, took the dog for a walk. One day I got a call from his mother. She insulted me for 1.5 hour. She said, we have plans for our son. He's going to be something special. What are you doing accepting him in that Bible school? You're going to ruin his life. Finally, I said, have you talked to his pastor? She'd already insulted the pastor for 30 minutes. So I said at the end of the conversation, why don't you allow your son to do what he feels God wants him to do? came into school in his freshman year. He was already having street meetings downtown Buenos Aires. Graduated, he and his wife, and they started a church. They'd put wooden chairs up, five lanes of traffic on each side. They asked Ralph and Frances Hyatt to help them with this church plant. And they said, we don't have any money right now. We don't want money. We just want you to come alongside us. That church today, 20,000 members. You know what? The lady that's in charge of a lot of their women's cell groups is his mother. She came around. And he is the host of the Spanish 700 Club. Do you think it was a good idea to allow the Lord to guide his life? Did he become someone that could affect other people? Of course. We just finish with this illustration. Dick and Cynthia have been enablers of visionaries. They've been people who have known how to push others ahead. We stayed on track that first term because of, I think, especially two things. Lauren Triplett, who said to us, if you'll just stay, you're a success. So I'd like to say to those three first-termers, if you'll just stay that first term, you're a success. Nobody's comparing you to anybody. You just stay and build the base for what God wants you to be and do. And the other thing that kept us, every month, we would go across town. It took us an hour and a half to drive over to their house or them to drive over to our house, and we would talk all day long and just be together. The catharsis of being heard, of being there with someone who really cares, of a friend. And I want to honor you, friends. I love you. And Sherry loves you. And our kids love you. You kept us on track. You were there for us. They were 5 years ahead of us, so we just watched their parenting and did this similar things. Our younger son is working with their son and daughter-in-law in Utah, planting a church. That's how God connects us in his passion and in his love. There's no reason to be lonely. I spent that year lonely, mainly because I didn't apply the word which says, if you want friends, be friendly. Do something about it. No reason to be fruitless, because the same sower is saying to you, I will plant you in this culture. I will plant you in another culture. Just be a seed that is available. They took a hold of Hector Ferreira's life, trusted him. In his freshman year, he and the Nicholsons planted a church that was running 300 people. He called me 2 or 3 years later. God was doing miracles, and he says, I've got another invitation to go 1,000 miles south with missionary Steve Hill. What do I do? People are saying, you can't leave 300 members. Do you have leadership in place? Yes, I do. What do I do? I said, just do what God has put on your heart. So he went down 1,000 miles south with 25 of their workers. They all moved to start a church in Neuquén that had nothing spiritually. 1 year later, they had 1,300 people in that church. The mayor's son accepted the Lord and was healed of drug addiction. The mayor gave him half a block of land. I've seen pictures of 12,000 children that they gather in their events for children. I was in a restaurant when Steve and Hector made a list of all the towns and cities they wanted to plant churches. They listed 20 churches, 20 places, and I thought, these guys are nuts. I didn't say anything. That church has planted 50 different churches, and Hector is traveling all over. When he was in Bible school, he sought God with passion. When he was in Bible school, he'd see a jet airplane go by, and he'd say to his friends, I'm going to take the gospel in a jet plane just like that, and they go, ha, 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 who do you think you are? It wasn't who do you think you are, it's who do you think he is, because he's the one who's sending. We're totally out of space at the school, totally out of space. That's a good problem. We have 64 young ladies sharing one bathroom. That will help them with the grace of God, don't you think? Saturday mornings, we have so many people in chapel that there are 10 rows of people standing. Last year we said no to 6 families who wanted to come and train. We have 15 nations represented, 438 resident Bible school students in alternating programs. We have class 11 months of the year, 6 days a week. We can't keep up. But we have a team that's fantastic, and you are part of the team. Pray for us. Pray for us. Continue to be there in the gap as the Lord guides you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time together. Thank you for your will, for your beautiful will, your beautiful purpose, your beautiful dream, your beautiful passion. We embrace your passion, and we allow you to take our hearts in Jesus' name.
I'd like you to stand with me for a moment. Let's thank them. In a few minutes, we'd like to receive a love offering. This is not money for us. This is what we love just to give away, to strengthen the hands of people like the Grahams. We're going to give a love offering to them and their ministry and all that's happening. But in this 40 days of prayer that we're a part of, I'm so challenged tonight with, I was looking at that tent, that yellow and white tent that is symbolic of a massive move of God that gripped a nation that was so difficult to reach just a few decades ago. And they would just erect tents, and people of faith would preach, and people like the Nicholsons and the Grahams and the students, they could train and send out. And you know, I feel like we heard a word from the Lord tonight, less distraction and more passion just for Jesus. I think that's what God's calling us to in these 40 days, and that's what it's going to take to see a nation. And somehow that tent represents to me our nation, the possibilities. Could God do that in our land like he's done it in Argentina? Could he also do that in Japan? Could he also do that in France and Germany and England? Could he also do that in Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Iraq and Afghanistan? If we could see laborers raised up with less distraction and more passion for Jesus, and partners that pray and give, who knows what could happen? And I don't know, my heart's just full tonight of what the possibilities of God are right now. And I'd like you to join the hand of someone beside you and around your tables, and we just lift your voices, and let's just intercede, and let's just pray, Lord, Lord, in our nation and among us, Lord, would you come and revive your work, how we need you to shake our nation and to revive us, O God, by the power of your Spirit in this day. And Lord, we ask, O God, that you will, Lord, to the nations of the world bring a mighty moving of the Spirit. And Lord, continue it in Argentina. Let it just multiply beyond any reckoning in the name of the Lord. Lord, let people from Argentina come to America and come to other nations that so need to be reached by the power of God. And Lord, we just pray that our own nation, oh God, that you would come. And Lord, that you would do what this yellow and white tent represents. That you will start a surge of a whole new movement of your Spirit in our own land. As we pray that it will continue in Argentina. Lord, we pray in Argentina and in America that the Spirit of God will move with great power. You'll raise up dedicated servants, undistracted and alive to you. Let me be that kind of person. Let us be that kind of person. Lord, let the person on each side of us whose hand we grip, Lord, let them be that kind of person in the name of Jesus Christ. My God, we pray that our hearts will be cleansed and our lives will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and our passion will be focused on you alone, O God, that every day we'll walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, we'll see you use us and work through us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that You will break through. That You will break through in our land, oh God. And that You will break through and send an awakening here as You've been working mightily in Argentina. My God, break through in Jesus' name, we pray. Break through in our church life in these 40 days, oh God, as we seek to fast and to pray and to seek Your will and to seek Your way. Let it be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and worship Him tonight. Lord, we thank You, Lord, and we hunger. We reach towards You, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come by Your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Come, O God, in these days. Fill us, O God, with a new heart for Your world and a new heart for what You're doing in our world in Jesus' name. Come, fill us by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Fill us, O God. We are Yours, Lord. And we thank You that You are our bread and our drink. You are our joy and our purpose. And we pray, Lord, that You just fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. Fill our families with a heart for You, Lord. Fill our church with Your Spirit in these days. In this mission's celebration, my God, may You visit us by the Spirit of the Lord with Your heart for the nations. And You will rework us, Lord, and re-recruit us as Your laborers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabasi, Rabba, You are the one who has come, O God. You are the one that we love, and You have called us, and Your call we set our hearts on tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We lay our dreams and our need, our visions and our possessions and every part of our lives, we lay before You tonight. And we pray that that passion of Your heart will grip our hearts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonder if Rocky and Sherry, you could just kind of step just maybe to your left or just into this opening area. I'd like numbers of you just to gather around them. And I'd like Dick Nicholson, if you will come and just lead us in prayer for Rocky and Sherry. And I also feel burdened that we pray tonight. I think they said something like 40% of their students have a call to foreign missions out of Argentina. I'd really like us to pray into that tonight too, even as we're laying hands on them. Let's lay hands on all those missionaries that God's calling from Argentina. Hallelujah. Can we have this mic, yeah, please? Yeah.
Would it be inappropriate to ask our new Argentine candidates to come up here as well, please? Join us, Brandy and Chris and Heather. I think it'd be appropriate.
Stand there. Let's have people gather around them as
the
well.
The nations are being impacted. There are at least 150 missionaries from Argentina scattered around the world. Many of them have come out of the Bible school. And this is just the beginning. Listen, friends, there's things happening around this planet. I want you to pray right now that God will. I was just down there 3 weeks ago to Buenos Aires and in that Bible school. And I'll tell you what. After 25 years, that revival has not abated. It's still going strong, and it's just getting ahead of steam now. I want you to just reach out your hands right here as if they were representing the Bible school students and then these young new candidates that are going out as well. And let's believe God to just break it open. Just break it open. Break it open around the planet. Break it open. Break it open here. Break it open there. Break it open in our Bible schools around the nation here. Break it open in our Bible schools in Africa. Break it open in our Bible schools in Asia. Break it open in our Bible schools throughout Latin America. Break it open in our seminaries and our classrooms in Europe. In the name of Jesus, Lord, right now we extend our hands toward Rocky and Sherry as representatives of 1,100 Bible schools students that right now are in River Plate Bible Institute. We ask You right now, oh God, just send a gully washer down through there. Just crank it up, Lord, like it's never been cranked up. Even in the greatness of the revival that's happened until now, I ask You, Lord, take it to the next level. Take it to the next level. Lord, as they attack the power centers of the nation, as the youth and as these young people and as Rocky and Sherry take on the challenge of the power centers of the enemy, I ask that you will anoint them with power from on high to penetrate into the darkness and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I ask you for Chris and Heather and Brandy right now that your anointing will begin upon them as they begin within days to launch into their fundraising, Lord Jesus, and their budget raising. I ask that it'll be more than just money, Lord, that they will share an anointing that they've received even tonight. And I ask each person around these tables tonight, Lord Jesus, that your spirit will hover over them. It wake them up in the middle of the night, or as they're reading the chapters of the book, or as they're reading the word, Lord Jesus, ignite a passion in us, as our pastor has said, a passion to be less distracted and more focused, with a passion to do your will. Lord, we give ourselves to you tonight, fresh and anew. We give ourselves to you afresh and anew, and we say, here am I, take me. Here am I, Lord. Increase my passion for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your hovering presence over these who represent the potential and the actuality of your kingdom right here, right now, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're Lord of the church. You're Lord of the harvest. You're Lord of the nations. Thank you, Lord, for sending laborers into your field. Thank you, Lord. We honor you as head of your church. We honor you as Lord of the harvest tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you. We want your heart, Lord. We thank you for hearing our prayer, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. You may be seated for a few minutes. Before we go tonight, we would like to put legs to our prayers, and we'd like to give. We'd like to invest. We'd like to give into Rocky and Sherry's ministry and lives. Thank you for sharing with us powerfully tonight. And there is, in a few minutes, you'll just be able to put your offering in the offering bag. There's one on every table. I'd like you also to look, and by the way, if you're making out a check, you just make it out to Central Assembly, and not because we keep any of it, but we can put all the offering together. Just give them one check. You also see on your table, if you would, somebody would just reach into the middle of the table, just hand these all around. We'll be seeing these in the bulletin on Sunday as well. We're going to have a great, great day on Sunday as we come close again to the heart of Jesus for his world. This is my missions faith promise. We're doing something a little different. As of this fall, we're going to 2 mission celebrations a year instead of one. Usually we do Sunday, Wednesday night, other things, sometimes on the weekend, and then Sunday. And we take up 12-month commitments. And we have people above what you give to your tithes to the church and to give forward to our buildings and our vision. We have hundreds of people who give, all the way from a few dollars to hundreds of dollars a month into world missions. Because we support 153 missionaries and mission organizations. And we keep them on the ground all around the world because of what people give every month. And we do it through a faith promise. I believe we could reach $20,000 a month this year. But because we're going to 2 mission celebrations every 6 months, we're shifting from 12-month commitments to 6-month commitments. 6-month commitments. And our next missions conference is in April. And so we are saying, here's by faith what I believe God will provide for me so I can invest in the worldwide mission of Jesus Christ. And for the next 6 months, I'll commit to this much per month. Now, back in February, we took 12-month commitments. So you can renew that and keep it going. But this commitment starts fresh, and we are looking at what we can do for the next 6 months. If you want to take this home and pray over it and talk to your spouse, I believe every family, every follower of Jesus needs to be invested in some way, even if it's only a dollar a month if you're on a fixed income. Trust the Lord. Plant that seed and give it into the harvest worldwide and watch God begin to use that. And so I'd like to encourage you, if you're ready tonight, you can fill out the large part, and you can keep the small part. You can tear off the small part, put the large part into the pouch as well, offering bag, as we give our offering to Rocky and Sherry Grahams tonight and the work God's doing through them. I'd like Nathan to come. And Nathan, I'd like you to pray over the offering in Spanish. No translation. We're going to trust you. Most of us are going to trust you. There's a few Spanish speakers who will know if you go off course, okay? But we'd like you to pray for this offering, please, in Spanish.
Let's pray. Padre, gracias te damos por este día maravilloso en el que escuchamos de tu palabra y de las obras maravillosas que estás haciendo en Argentina. Te pido, Señor amado, que en este momento tú pongas la mano en nuestros corazones para que podamos darle una buena ofrenda a nuestros compañeros que están trabajando allá en ese país, Señor Jesucristo, para que tú continúes haciendo tu obra poderosa allá y sigas levantando gente que vaya alrededor del mundo predicando tu palabra y levantando el nombre de Jesucristo en todo lugar de esta tierra, Señor Jesús. En tu nombre oramos y te lo pedimos con gracias, Señor. Amén.
Amén. Going to be a little background music, I think, and I'd like you to just take the next few moments just before we formally dismiss, just to fill out your pledge cards if you're ready to do that, and definitely give you an opportunity to give to the Grahams tonight. Thank you.